You may be seated, and today's message is titled, A Vision for a Joyful Walk with the Lord, Part 2. A Vision for a Joyful Walk with the Lord, Part 2. As I was thinking about what to share this morning, I realized that there were still more juice in those grapes from last week. So I decided to jump on them a little bit more this morning. But it's a vision for a joyful walk with the Lord. And I was going to launch, this morning's message with a question. I was going to start by asking you a question. And the question was going to be, have you ever thanked someone for praying for you? Have you ever thanked someone for praying for you? And I know most of us have, but there was a particular reason why I was going to ask you that question this morning, but I decided instead to give a message about where that question came from. When people have, you know, expressed appreciation for a message that I've given, some of you have said how it ministered to you, I've often said, my response many times is, I am the first audience of every message I give. And I'm the first audience to which the message applies. You guys are always the second audience. And this morning is no exception. When we talk about a walk with the Lord, when we talk about walking with Christ is such a marvelous and fascinating mystery. It is anything but common. It is anything but boring. It is anything but predictable. I have said before that our walk with the Lord is fantastic, but it's not a fantasy. It's not a fantasy because the scripture says, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, I wanted to make known to you of first importance, the gospel that was given to me, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. So the reason why our faith is fantastic but not a fantasy is because it is based upon the historical person, Jesus Christ. And it is of first importance. I've been making this more and more part of my daily devotional meditation. First importance, Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again. This is fantastic what's going on, Lord. What is happening in my relationship with you, what is happening in the relationship of the people that you've surrounded me with, the growth, the vitality, the joy, the excitement, all that's going on, it's fantastic. It's miraculous. It is marvelous. But it's not a fantasy. It's based upon what happened on that cross and what came out of that tomb. That gives me a solid place. When I get up in the morning, I'm not courting a feeling. I'm not courting a concept. I'm not rehearsing religious principles and rules. Of first importance, I am connected to the living, risen Christ. So walking with Christ is a marvelous and fascinating mystery, and it's so much bigger than all of our ideas and all of our strategies, and it's so much more than our memories or our notebooks can contain. We just keep filling up notebook after notebook after notebook, shelf after shelf after shelf, collecting paper after paper after paper. It's endless and far beyond anything that our memories or our hearts or our notebooks can contain. I'd like you to turn with me to Romans 11. This is our text verse. Romans 11, 33 through 36. We're talking about a joyful walk with the Lord and how marvelous and fascinating it is. It's in accordance with these words written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. He's going through the miracle of all that the Lord has done to make it possible for us to have this relationship with him. And it almost seems like Paul gets to a point where he gets tired of just writing about it. And he gets tired of trying to describe it. Or he's overwhelmed by it. And then he inserts this doxology right in the middle of his discourse there on the treasures of Christ. He says in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." I like what the Message translation says there of verse 34. It says, "Is there anyone around who can explain God?" Just breaks it down. And I like that. Just cuts to the chase. What is Paul saying? Is there anyone who can explain God? Anyone smart enough? And of course, the rhetorical answer is, One year ago today, dear sister Neola sent me a note that's a keeper. And I want to share it with you as we launch into this morning's message, because I'm telling you on the front end, this morning's message is going to be very, very different. The preface of it has started off as normal, but now it's about to turn. And it's intentional. It's going to be difficult for you to take notes. You might jot down verse references. You might jot down a quote here or there, but it's going to be difficult for you to take notes. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But Neola wrote me this note a year ago. She said, "Dear Pastor," she said, "your ministry reminds me to fix my eyes on Jesus. Your message reminds me that I am a celebrity and loved dearly and unconditionally by Christ. Your guidance moves me through the example you set as you share the excitement of walking with God, literally and figuratively. And your vision leads me to genuinely search for the joy of knowing him more deeply, so that, like a balloon, I rise." And the cover of the card had a bunch of balloons. And I say, if that is the effect that I am having, Lord, you can take me home right now. I'm ready to go. Because that's what it's all about for me. It's all about promoting him. It's not about me. It's really, in a sense, not about my relationship with the Lord. It's about the Lord. And I'm just explaining the Lord through the relationship that we have in order to entice and inspire you to think bigger about your relationship with him. You see, I'm thinking bigger than where I am about my relationship with the Lord. I am not even close. I haven't even left the station. in this journey of how marvelous he is. So if you're sitting there thinking that your spiritual experience is pretty much maxed out, it's topped off, there's not going to be any revelation or revolution inside of me, that I'm pretty much just going to maintain and, you know, have my time with the Lord, and he's going to help me make it through, and I'm going to pray and trust him to make life better or to help me to grow here and there. And you're thinking in those terms, there is so much more to him than just us hanging on or just advancing step by step. There is so much more of him that he wants to inspire us with. And that's what this whole, that's what this second message and the first message last week was about. The vision of a joyful walk with the Lord. And by the way, you could put any other biblical blessing in that where joyful is. A vision for a more powerful walk with the Lord. A vision for a more loving walk with the Lord. A vision for a more peaceful walk with the Lord. You choose the adjective. It all revolves around having a bigger vision of him. The bigger our vision, the bigger those attributes show up in our lives. The greater our picture of him, the greater our experience of the life that Jesus died to give us so abundantly. But it starts with seeing him. It starts with a vision of him. So this morning's going to be different. Oh, the depth. In fact, I'm thinking about using that as a new phrase for when God does something that is so, just so God. You know, he does stuff in your life and you just know it's just God. I'm thinking I'm just going to say, oh, the depth. Oh, the depth. And that will capture that indescribable thing. Today's message is going to be different because I want to take you directly into my relationship with the Lord. And this isn't unprecedented. Paul did it all the time in the scriptures in order to inspire believers in their own walk. Once again, it's not about me. It's about him. It's about seeing him more clearly. And all I've got to give you is what I've got. And I told the Lord as I was preparing this message, Lord, I just want to give him authentic stuff from us. Authentic stuff from us. I don't want to give them anything more or less than what's true in us. Every day I have what I call abiding and delighting time. You know, it's kind of the equivalent of R&R, rest and relaxation, getting away, just having some time to refresh. Every day I have named my time with the Lord abiding and delighting because that's my goal, is to abide in him and to delight in him. My first priority every morning is simple. My time with the Lord is designed for one thing, to enjoy him. That's it. To enjoy him. Everything else that I have to offer, everything that comes out of me emanates from that place. The joy of the Lord, as someone was saying in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. What I have to give my wife, the freshness, the fullness, what I have to give my kids, what I have to give to you individually, what I have to give to my fellow ministry leaders, what I have to give to strangers, what I have to give to people on the street who are being rude to me or on the highway, what I have to give to anybody emanates from that place of joy. And I am unashamed to say it. When I hang out with the Lord, Lord, I am here to enjoy you. That's why I'm here. I'm here to enjoy you. And during that time, I call my engagement with him orientation and registration. It's orientation and registration for the day. I am orienting my faith to him. And the orientation is, Lord, you are the best thing about today. It's not something that I'm hoping for, wishing for, or something that I have to feel. The reality is, you are the best thing about today. And I'm orienting my faith to that idea as well as others. And then registration. I am registering then my requests. I am registering my request in light of that truth. Lord, that you would help me to experience you as the best thing about today. Because I can't do that in the flesh. I can't conjure that up. That is something that you do. That is something that you give. That is something that you bless me with. So I orient my faith to enjoying him and I register my request with him. So I'm going to share with you, this is yesterday. This is what happened yesterday when I was spending time alone with the Lord. And I will tell you that these are direct things that I ponder and things that I talk to the Lord about. So I'm taking you inside and I've sort of deducted some of the more personal things about you all. So don't worry, you're not going to show up in what I'm about to say. But I carry a little digital recorder. This is not, you don't need to do this. This is what I do. I'll say it again. This is not, but you're free to borrow anything that you hear that you think might be helpful. I carry a digital recorder. I don't know how people exist without these. I really don't. I'm driving along and I have all kinds of ideas, all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of things that I want to say to people or I want to write down or what have you. I don't know how you guys exist. How many of you have one of these? How do you exist? I don't know. There are all these things percolating in my head, and I don't want them to get away. And I'm thinking, if I don't have some way to record it, I can't write it down because I'm driving. I'll run into somebody, and I don't want to pull over. I'd be pulling over every five minutes. So I have to have something like this. So when I am taking my walk with the Lord, I take my digital recorder with me. Because something might pop out that I really, really want to hold on to and meditate on later or share with somebody. So I've got my digital recorder. I'm walking along and I'm praying and I'm talking to the Lord. And what you're about to hear are some of the things that we talked about. That's why I'm saying that they're direct conversations because I recorded them and then I transcribed them and put them into my journal. So this is what we talked about. And it's going to sound kind of scattered because that's how I said it. Okay, so these are not edited. John 17:20. My prayer, Jesus praying, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So I'm quoting this. I'm not sure I ever thanked you for praying for me, Lord Jesus. I've thanked a lot of people for praying for me, but I'm not sure I ever thanked you for praying for me. And so today, I want to thank you for praying for me because you said that I am not only praying for my disciples, I am praying for those who will believe in me because of their words. So I thank you for praying for me to have the full measure of your joy within me. Thank you for praying for me to one day be with you to see your glory. Thank you for praying for my protection against the evil one, who though he cannot really take what you've given me, he wants to blind me to the riches that are mine in you. Thank you for protecting me. And as you thank the Father for always hearing you, so I thank you for always hearing me. I thank you for blessing my walk with you today, just as you have. I trust you. Thank you for guarding me against smugness and self-reliance by making me more aware of it and given me a spiritual aversion to it. Even though my flesh still craves it, I still want control. Thank you for touching my heart with your love and affection, and for sensitizing me to be able to detect it. Thank you for bringing me to this place that I am in right now of overflowing gratitude. You brought me here. I didn't bring myself here. Thank you for once again blessing my orientation and registration. And as I was saying that, these words came to mind. Thanksgiving sometimes starts a fire. That once it gets going, it can burn anything we throw on it. Whether it's pleasures or hardship, like a burnt offering to the Lord. Going through a tough time at work, it'll burn it up in praise. Once Thanksgiving gets going, it can burn anything. Walking with Christ is such a kaleidoscopic adventure, like a kaleidoscope, but with infinite arrangement, shapes, and colors. They tore up my pie analogy at Bible study. They tore it apart, but that's okay, because no analogy or metaphor can fully express you, Lord. It's okay. And that's why I'm so irresistibly drawn to you. Because no matter what metaphor I come up with, it falls short. You know, a lot of people have commended me on my writing. And I gratefully acknowledge it and I appreciate it. I appreciate it because their words encourage me. But I have to confess, my pursuit of finding the right frame of words, It really is an exquisite frustration. Attempting to describe the indescribable. And as Lord, you said to me, as you said to Manoah in Judges 13, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? That's what the New American Standard says. It's beyond understanding, says the King James. I mean, it says the New International Version. But my favorite is the King James. It says, the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Seeing that my name is secret. So, Lord, you reveal it as you please, in the measure you please, at the time you please, and to whoever you please. And when I think I have a dazzling, apt description, you twist the kaleidoscope. And sometimes ever so slightly, and there before my eyes is a nuance that reveals a whole corridor of fresh revelation about you. I can't pin you down. I can't contain you. I can't capture you on paper, and I can't stop trying. Wonderful, wonderful, woe is me. Wonderful, wonderful, woe is me. Lord, thank you for all this. I was not expecting all of this to come flooding into this time, but thank you. So you see, that's why I'm not just willing, I'm eager to trust you. I'm continuing to grow in the conviction that you are the best thing life has to offer, and in the belief that you know how to nurture my relationship with you infinitely better than I do. Thank you for sponsoring this burst of freshness that we're enjoying together. I often say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want anything new. Just make it fresh. It could be the old thing all over again. Just make it fresh. So thank you for this burst of freshness. Thank you for your kindness. And I just see that the irony of walking with the Lord is that he wants to liberate me from the bondage of my independence from him and lead me into the freedom of dependence on him, where I'm going to find security, joy, and peace. So that's a sample of the soul. I could have taken any day. This is pretty much how every day is. Every day. I could have taken Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I picked yesterday because it was the freshest. I don't share it again so that you're going to imitate anything that you've heard. Again, you're free to borrow anything that you like. But I share it to encourage your own ongoing interaction with the Lord, with a view towards not just maintaining but expanding and deepening your personal relationship with the Lord. No matter how anemic you may think it is right now or how astonishing you may think it is, it can be much, much better. Much, much bigger, much, much greater. And it starts with believing who he is. That's why those verses I gave you last week about who the Lord is. And I said last week, start saying these things to the Lord. Start telling him how great he is. And we don't tell the Lord how great he is for his ego. We tell him how great he is for our vision. For our vision. It expands our vision. So you guys saw the pastor's, my pastor Dan Beatty's Monday morning boost. I'm going to end with this. Think about a well-decorated house. You read this on Monday, many of you, but I want to end with this. Think about a well-decorated house. Not necessarily big, not necessarily fancy, not necessarily opulent, but it's well-appointed. With the kind of decor that just seems to perfectly fit the people who live there. It's the kind of place you want to walk by and say, oh, that's cute. And you pick this thought, look at that. And you look at it and you're drawn in. The home didn't come that way. The furnishings were added piece by piece, intentionally, over time. Leading to the full effect. And that's how it is with each of our relationship with the Lord. Using his perfect knowledge of each one of us, he takes every life event, every single one. This is why he says he causes all things to work together for the good. It says in Ephesians, he works all things after the counsel of his will. There is not one single event that invades our lives that he does not use and customizes it for our relationship with him. Not to impress others, but to impress us, to deepen our trust in him as our interior designer. He also lovingly maintains it, repairs it, and continues to expand it because he is our dwelling place. And I love what Miss Harrietta said in response to that as she saw it on Facebook. She wrote back, I love my decor. And that is great. That is where the Lord wants all of us, not to be ashamed, thinking, I ain't got nothing in here. Well, boy, my wallpaper is all falling off. Or I need, this carpet is all shaggy and nasty. I need this place to be bombed and started over again. No matter how bad we think it is, no matter how grand we may think it is, our relationship with the Lord right now, we give thanks. We give thanks for where we are. We give thanks that the Lord called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We give thanks that we belong to him. We give thanks that nothing can separate us from his love, no matter what our decor looks like on the inside. So we give thanks for where we are. And if we're in a great spot and we think our relationship with the Lord is all that, we give thanks for that too. But we don't say, hey, you know what, Lord, thanks a lot for coming. See you, you know, when I get to heaven. Thanks for all you did. You know, that's cool. I'm happy right here. I'm good. See ya. Because we recognize that he wants to take us so much further than where we are, no matter where we are in our journey with him. So be happy with your decor. Say, thank you, Lord, and give thanks for the work he's doing in you. We often give thanks for other people. Take some time to give thanks for you. Who said that at Bible study? Somebody said that at Bible study. We were praying for everybody else, and the person said, thank you, Lord, for me. And we kind of chuckled a little bit, but it was right on the money. Thank you, Lord, for me. You are at work in me. And I'm not everywhere I want to be, but thank you for what you have done. Thank you for all that you are doing to expand my vision of you. And Lord, as I face Monday and stuff starts coming at me, Lord, help me to recognize that as the raw materials that you want to use and drag it into my house, and I may not want it in my house. Don't bring that in here. But it's just the raw materials for the kind of decor that we'll look at. He transforms it. He transforms it. He drags it in. We say, Lord, I don't want that thing in here. And he says, I'm not done with that yet. Let me show you what I'm going to do with this. And he may be working on it for a real long time. I'm not ready yet. He may be working on it for a long time. And then, voila, look. And some of those things we won't see until heaven. But we have, by faith, we have his assurance that nothing is coming into our home that he cannot handle, that he did not see coming, and that he is not able to help us to be patient and have grace to endure. And then by faith we say, Lord, thank you for what you are building. By faith, not by sight, but by faith, by thankful faith. Thank you, Lord, for this. Because you are using this to make my decor where I abide, where I dwell in you, a fabulous place of joy and rest. Even in the midst of storms, even in the midst of confusion and difficulty. Thank you. That's what you do. That's what you do. So I'm done. That's all I got to say.